The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Welcome everybody to Podcast Beyond, episode number 104 and 106. How does that number work? It's 406.
Like
I don't know how I did that.
That would be 10,000.
We went back in time.
I don't know how I miscounted so long.
I'm your host, Chris Roper.
The PlayStation 2 is about to launch, and boy, are we excited!
I'm Max Scoville. Joining me, as sometimes, Marty Sleva.
Nope, I'm here all the time.
Brian, your turn.
You gotta say my name.
Man, we're off to a bad start. Brian Altano. And then Andrew Goldfarb.
We're very jet lagged.
Yeah, I'm feeling really weird still. We were in Cologne for Gamescom for
Guten
a week.
Tag.
Alice Klar, Herr Kommissar. It was the first time I've been to Europe, and it's a very long flight to get there. It's like 22 hours.
You guys sound kind of like stuttery and a miss.
Well, that's just how I sound all the time.
You left a part of you behind.
You also sound exactly like you do every week.
I'm not like super tired, but I feel like a little bit just a little bit kind of off, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, I felt like that way the whole time. I mean, it's like a really weird. It's light there till really late, and like we were working until late, so like our nights were just like. Very odd. Like our pacing was weird.
Yeah. And then, meanwhile, Brian, you just got your wisdom teeth out.
I did.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward?
Marty
to your,
is a father.
I'm a father.
Congratulations.
A lot of things have happened.
I got my top wisdom teeth out. It's just a weird. It's a weird show. I was on drugs all weekend for the teeth, not just for fun.
Yeah.
They were great.
You said that earlier, and I forgot about the wisdom teeth stuff, and I was like, wow, that was a candid confession about your drug habit.
I'm a little old to just start hitting hard drugs.
That's true.
I forgot about the wisdom teeth thing that we talked about like 30 seconds ago.
Yeah, I know. It's not great.
Let's get into some news.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
What is the video game world like in the wonderful land of Germany? How different is it than here?
Because I know when we were in the convention center. I don't really...
Yeah,
I mean, just sort of anecdotally walking around the streets.
Gamescom is divided into the business center and the public area, and like 99% of the time we're in the business center, so we just saw dudes in suits who flew in from America, basically.
And it's like three times bigger than E3 or something like that?
It's like 10 times bigger than
E3. 10 times.
Yeah. Yeah. It's 400,000 people.
Disastrously huge.
Versus what, how many?
E3
40,
is between
50,
30 and 50.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is, PAX is about 70. Like, it is a very big show.
How do they get all that meat in there for all those big boys?
it's
big trucks.
We are
meat boys.
Damn, Brian.
I would be curious to know how many pigs were consumed.
Oh Jesus!
By
IGN
Gamescom attendees.
Yeah.
And just to see them released
on the public day, on the first like really big public day, because Saturday and Sunday are like even bigger than the rest of the days because it's the weekend. We tried to go to the shopping area, like to look for like video game toys and stuff,
like the merchandise area.
It was hellish. Yeah,
that was literally the most like hell I've felt.
Yeah, I mean,
we were all like really tired.
Something like all of E3 squeezed into that room.
400,000 people is a small. Town with
not
like
even that
a,
no,
its
not
own
a real city.
It's a real city with its own government. And
yeah, I mean, my hometown is 20,000 people.
God, yeah, it's half of an E3.
So we went like the last day. The really only part of the show floor we saw was like I went there to during one of the press days and kind of walked around and was just amazed at the scale of this place.
It's the only day you can go.
It is 10 huge like convention center halls that are just – I mean they're the size of – if you've been to a PAX, I would say it's the size of like
– The PAX hall.
One of those rooms. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's – yeah, there's – so there's
– There's 10 of them.
The business center is 2, 3, 4 and then hall 5 is like a weird hybrid hall that's like – outside of the technical public area, but it's where all the shopping stuff was.
Yeah.
And the, 6, 7, 8, and 9 are the really big ones, which are a little bigger than South Hall.
And it's just, I didn't see the crowds really until the day we went to check out the merch hall, whatever. We walked around, it was just, and I think the most disappointing thing is the reality that like most of the stuff that was being sold there was like cool Japanese statues. And I was like, this is sort of all sort of tempting, but I'm just like, I'm in Germany. I can go home and order this also and from Japan. Like,
yeah, that was the weird thing.
None of these are like German
also flying,
exclusives.
Don't be the guy on a 11-hour flight with a giant Japanese statue.
Yeah.
That's kind of a hassle.
Yeah.
At least not the one that you bought in Germany, just the one you brought from San Francisco.
Max, you kind of are a giant Japanese statue.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. You're tall. You have hair like Goku.
So what's the – I mean, I don't understand the – so what's the appeal of attending a show like this as the public? Because I know when you go to E3, you wait
– like PAX.
You wait for E3, you wait, what, 4 hours to play a game demo? Is it 12 hours?
No, I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, it's – it's the same as E3. It's just servicing a part of the world that doesn't have another show like this.
But it's also like Halo 5 is playable, and there are 400 stations.
Is that what it is?
So everything is just larger. So like, picture an E3 booth like times 4. Like so, it's like everything is just bigger in general. But yeah, like there are people who like go there and wait 6 hours to play one game, and then they're disappointed by it, and they wasted a whole day. Like it's not. I don't know. It's really interesting.
So 2 weeks ago, we talked about how Sony's presence was probably going to be lacking at the show. They didn't have a press conference in favor of doing one at Paris Games Week at the end of October.
Yep.
Like, what was their presence like? I mean, was this a Microsoft – I mean, we know that Microsoft conference was huge. Was, like, that sort of the talk of the show?
Yeah. I mean, there was – Microsoft had the biggest booth. They were everywhere. Like, every – the big announcements were all Microsoft games. But that said, like, when you went down – like, Street Fighter had a pretty big presence on Sony. They had a big stage, and they were talking about stuff. And, like, it was clear that, like – you know, that was being played on PS4s, obviously. And then, like, if you walk by the Black Ops stuff, all of that was on PS4s. So it's, like, in third party, they shined. Sure. Also, like, there was on the public floor, Sony did have a presence. Like, there was Tearaway Unfolded, and they were doing live demos. And there was this big inside PlayStation thing where they were doing interviews with devs. So it's, like, from our perspective, in terms of new games to cover, there weren't new announcements or anything. But for the public, you know, like, to us, the stuff we saw at E3 is 2 months old. But to the public that didn't get to see that, it's brand new. So it was their first hands-on.
And, like, a bunch of the coolest stuff was third-party. It was, like, Mafia 3 and Dark Souls and Phantom Pain.
Exactly. Like, so I think they were there. Like, yes, their absence was definitely felt in terms of announcements, but they were there. It's not like there were, like, no PlayStation logos anywhere.
Yeah. Right. So I think most importantly, there's a video on our site.
Yes.
And someone met a superhero.
Can I explain what
this please.
Yeah.
So one of the UK team was over there, and they'd been out. Rory was out shooting just cosplay footage for you know, one of those like, oh, here's all the cosplay at Gamescom, and they're filming this guy who was in a Spider-Man costume.
Really impressive.
Really good costume. Yeah. And you can go see the video. I think it's just like Spider-Man saves Gamescom.
We'll put it in the show notes.
It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen, and I'm gonna ruin it for you right now. But basically, this guy, you just hear from kind of off screen, you hear this just terrifying cackle, and the camera sort of pans over and does one of those like in the office, like zoom in and out kind of things where they're like, what is that? Like you're kind of reeling back as the cameraman from this really, really horrible Green Goblin costume.
And this is all unscripted, right?
Yeah.
This was completely,
completely unplanned.
And he just happened to be walking by.
And then he starts speaking in German in a Green Goblin voice.
And, like, the first thing he yells is, like, Spider-Man!
But then, like, the best part is that then they have this awful, unchoreographed fight.
They start fighting.
It is so awkward.
He's rolling the goblin balls at him.
It's really, it's one of the funniest things I've seen. And, like, they came back to the war room and they were like, we just filmed something very unusual. And they like told us about it. We all started cracking up just from the description.
Yeah.
And then they showed it to us and I was like doubled over crying from just like laughing. Like, and I think until I got on the plane, every time I thought of it, I was still laughing about it. I love it so much. I showed it to Jen, my fiance, yesterday, and she just started going, oh no, oh no, oh no, and backing away from the computer laughing because it was so uncomfortable to watch.
I love it so much.
It was really weird. You guys pretty much put it on the site without any warning or anything like that. It's just, if you're checking IGN and you're scrolling through and all of a sudden it's like, well, here's something weird we've heard at Comic-Con. And it's just two people screaming at each other. One of them screaming. It's
so good.
It's a very uncomfortable video.
It's so good. It's such a funny video. It's so good, too. It's just the juxtaposition of how good the Spider-Man costume is with how awful the Green Goblin costume is. But he's way more committed to it. And then he just, like, calls him on his bluff, and he's like, as far as being a cosplayer goes, I think if you're in your really good costume and you're, like, you're posing and you're looking awesome, I think the most villainous thing someone could do is just swoop in and steal the spotlight, mm-hmm. but do it in a really corny way, and then do something that encourages you to kind of show off that you don't know how to actually act like Spider-Man.
And that's the thing, like, the poor Spider-Man looks really good up to that point, but then he tries to do this, like, behind-the-back move with, like, the pumpkin bomb, and it's so
really
bad.
Good. So, incredible. Everyone at home, please watch this video. I hope you enjoy it. I wasn't really there, but I'm just sort of proud that I could be a part of it because mm-hmm. it was so impressive.
So good.
Yeah.
Let's anything talk about else? News.
Journalism.
Yeah, let's talk about some news.
Let's do some Q's with A.
Quickies with Andy.
Oh. So this is interesting. This broke last week. I don't know if you guys talked about it, but there's kind of some explanation now. So if you didn't hear last week, Peter Dinklage is no longer in Destiny. He's being replaced by Nolan North entirely. Re-recording all the lines, like, that character is no longer Peter Dinklage. And they finally explained a little bit of why.
Because he wasn't very good.
Because he wasn't very good. But today they basically said it was all availability. They were like, yeah, like, we needed to record lines. And, like, there was all this Hollywood where, like, we couldn't get him. So it's like he wasn't even there to record. Like,
you know why? Because he was doing Pixels.
Yeah, that must be it.
Because he was filming Pixels.
That's real sad.
That's, yeah.
He's working on the first installment of the Pixels trilogy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hollywood nonsense. I said when I didn't need to. I apologize.
Let's do it again.
They got Nolan North, and that's what he says. He says, Nolan is a pro. This is his thing. You can just call him up and say, hey, next week we're doing this internal playtest, and it would be great to get some ghost dialogue in there, and he's available.
Yep. A lot of those, a lot of voice actors have setups in their apartments, or not apartments, probably houses, because they do so well, where they can just pop in and record a bunch of VO in a little pop-in closet in their apartment. So that's – I don't know why I keep saying apartment. So that's great. That's probably a lot easier than Peter Dinklage, who's climbing a green screen wall somewhere in Berlin or whatever.
Yeah, I talked to Sean Vanneman, who's working on Firewatch, and he said the two lead characters recorded all of their dialogue from their separate houses, from their separate VO booths, and he was directing them via Skype.
Wow.
And they actually hadn't met. They still haven't met.
Wow.
Like, that's
the actor,
really interesting.
Like, they had this, like,
amazing emotional game. For that game, that works really well, though.
Who are the voice actors?
The guy plays
Harry Crane from Mad Men.
And the girl was Katya in Walking Dead.
Yes.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Super cool stuff.
Next up, so Sony raised the prices of, 3-month and 6-month, I believe, PlayStation Plus memberships in the UK. Mm-hmm. This is only notable because, so the 1 year is for now the same, but it's interesting because they've raised prices in other regions before, but we have been largely unaffected in the United States. And it's kind of interesting to wonder if they will raise that price, because I feel like PlayStation Plus is such a good value.
It's been 50 years since was it 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Did you say it's 5-year anniversary?
Yep. Yeah. So I think, I don't know, like, I honestly wouldn't be upset paying $10 more, because I feel like the value of it is totally worth it.
Yeah. I wouldn't either, but on the flip side, if you're at all interested in PlayStation Plus, like, keep an eye out on sites like Cheap Ass Gamer, because I've almost never had to actually pay $50 for it. Same with Xbox Live, where there's almost a deal every 3 or 4 months where somebody's like $30 for a year or something for 9 months, and they all stack. So I have, like, I think I have 3 years of PS Plus lined up right now just because I jumped on deals. Like, you don't have to pay $50 for that.
And honestly, like, the secret best person to follow on Twitter is a guy named Wario64.
Yeah.
Who he's like a robot man, but he just tweets out amazing deals on games and
He used to actually run the cheapest gamer Twitter too.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then kind of another PlayStation note, so there's this vote to play feature that leaked out a week ago that's finally confirmed.
Well, I read a news story about this and it left me with more questions than when I went in. So it's basically, people are voting for what games they want to see on there?
Yeah, so basically they'll give you 3 options, and the idea is that whichever game wins will be free for the next month of PlayStation Plus. So this month it is Armello, Grow Home, which is a new, like, weirdly, that game hadn't been announced for PS4.
Yeah, and evidently the game's really good. It was a Ubisoft game. It was a PC thing where you're, like, this little like a man who's climbing a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to, I'm sorry, I didn't pull it up, but there was a comment on the IGN video version of last week's episode of Beyond where I guess we had talked about how we thought this month's PlayStation Plus lineup, which was
like Limbo, Sound Shapes,
God of War Ascension, yeah. A couple of Tomb Raider and the Temple of Osiris. Yep. Like it was a good mix of games. There was a comment saying that we were kind of wrong and that we were overrating it, and I was like, "Well, I can totally see where you're coming from on that." I actually wanted to read the comment. I'm really sorry I forgot it, Mr. or Mrs. but I wanted to talk to you guys about like what makes a good PlayStation Plus lineup, because I think this is they're in a very tough spot. Basically, the dedicated hardcore Sony fans, people who buy every PlayStation game, people in this room, are the type of people that are going to have played everything that's free that's really good already, right? So a game like Limbo or Sound Shapes, of course everyone in this room's played it already, because we were told and we told each other to play it a long time ago. So that PlayStation Plus kind of gets rid of any AAA games, right? AAA games, we would have played them ourselves years ago. So for now, let's account those as being part of the deal. Then we have to look at indies. Now, indies are sort of hit or miss, right? They're also kind of cheaper, so I don't know how great of a deal that is. And the third thing you can possibly get is a game launching exclusively on PlayStation Plus, which doesn't happen all the time.
No.
It happens surprisingly frequently, given that it's like we are so spoiled by that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what was it, Ali 2?
Yep.
Yeah, Ali 2.
Like, that just came out on Steam.
Rocket League. I think it's a combination of a couple things. I think, it's huge if a game launch, like an indie game launches and then is free that month. Like, that's part of the reason Rocket League just absolutely blew up is because millions of people were able to download it and try it for free and really liked it. I think another thing is smaller games that people may have missed. By now it feels like Limbo and Sound Shapes have been free on various platforms often.
Yeah,
like, I think I have a free copy of Limbo on a couple consoles that
somebody wrote in and told us that Limbo was free on Vita once, free on PS3 once, and now it's free on PS4.
And it was free on X360.
Definitely been through it.
So it's been on three different PlayStation platforms, although the game is not cross-buy. So.
You know what's really kind of perplexing is the amount of free PS4 versions of games we're seeing that are like smaller indie games.
Yeah.
But like, are those studios porting them over, or like who's doing that? Who is like Limbo is a pretty old game at this point. Who is like, let's put that on PS4 as opposed to being like, Skyrim or something.
Yeah,
you know,
I doubt Playdead's doing it themselves. Like I imagine
it depends. Like sometimes it's developer oriented and they contract another studio to do it. But sometimes like the Building the List stuff, like when Borderlands 2 came to Vita, right? That was Sony publishing it, and they got Iron Galaxy and then they ported it over. So I think sometimes Sony is the one who kind of gets that ball rolling.
Conversely, like why not? Like there are tons of games that are on Steam or just kind of indie games that are floating around that are about the same size as Limbo, I guess. Mm-hmm. Why not work on getting those? I mean, just seems an odd choice, like of things that are not on a million other systems, like Sound Shapes and, and maybe there's some kind of, it's easier to port something from Vita to PS4 than it is from PS3 to PS4.
I'm always torn about that because I'm sitting there going like, Sound Shapes is an awesome game, but as somebody who pays for PlayStation Plus, like, probably not the best value to me to have it again, especially because it was cross-buy.
Well, that one's super awesomely cross-save. Like, everything in that one is so easy to go back and forth. And actually, the reason trophy people love that game is because every time you sync your save back and forth, you unlock another set of trophies.
And I think that was that available at launch?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I downloaded that day one for free. So.
And that was the big thing. It was on PS3 and Vita. It was announced as a Vita game, and then it came to PS3, and at launch you could transfer your save back and forth. But then when the PS4 version came out, once again you got all those trophies for transferring it, so it's like a weird incentive. But I think as far as PlayStation Plus, like to answer all those questions, like I don't think it's for us. I think like we get benefits out of it and we can play games we miss, but like for me, PlayStation Plus has always been something that's kind of that incentive to people don't own the system yet.
Yeah.
Because like, especially when they did the instant game collection for Vita where you got like Uncharted and Gravity Rush and all that, like you are telling people like, hey, like pick up this system because if you do and you spend the price of one game, you get a year supply of free games.
Yeah.
And they're some of the best games you might have missed.
Yeah.
And I think that's why like
that's a good
PlayStation
point.
Plus is, now it's required for multiplayer, so we have more reason to use it. But for me, it's like, that is the selling point on how I sell someone to buy this over another system.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. I think it also helps to, like, big AAA games that may have slipped through the cracks or come out at a weird time. Like, God of War Ascension sort of came out so late in the PS3's life cycle that people may have already been thinking about PS4 and everything. And
exactly.
So, like, and it's good for games that, I don't know, like, I'm trying to think of games that were like that were, like, good, solid AAA games that just got sort of buried, like stuff like Darksiders.
And they put, like, Little Big Planet karting and things like...
Wasn't Vanquish one of them once?
Yeah, Vanquish. Yeah.
Like, and those are, like, great examples. I think Arkham Origins and God of War Ascension are great examples of, like, even fans of those franchises might have passed on those kind of, like, spin-off-y titles.
Yeah, for free.
Whereas for free, if you're, like, itching for another game or, like, you don't have the money for Arkham Knight yet, but you want to play a game, so you go back. Or, like, you're really excited for God of War 5, but it's not out yet, so you're going to play Ascension. Like, I think it scratches that itch, and it's free, so why wouldn't you?
I like it, too, for things like Infamous First Light.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're sort of just, like...
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have spent $20 on this
that
as
was
a standalone.
The right size,
but like that's just throw it in for free 1 month. I think it also the value totally gets better when you have a Vita sitting there too. Mm-hmm. If you still have a PS3 hooked up, then sure. I personally find it hard to go back to that console.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons. But I mean, let us know what you think the perfect PlayStation Plus lineup is. Like, what do you want to see? What's a good month? What's a bad month? What's your dream lineup? Send us an email to
beyond@ign.com.
That's right.
Or also pop into the Facebook group, which is facebook.com/ I don't know what the group's exact name is.
I'm really excited for like a year, 2 years from now when the PS4 library is much bigger and stuff that totally just got swept under the rug that I forgot about becomes
totally.
PS Plus. Like, this is so weird to say. Dying Light came out. Like, a lot of people seem to really like it. I totally wasn't feeling it when it came out, and there's the odds of me going back and intentionally playing it sometime this year are pretty slim.
Yeah. I guarantee that will be a free game in a year.
That sounds like a perfect candidate,
Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, this is so much fun!
Yeah.
But if I'd been like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, check this out from work, or I'm gonna buy this for myself or whatever, I'd probably be like, I'd rather do something else.
See, and I actually like that aspect of it, of this sort of just like your friend hands you a book. And he's like, read this. It's pretty good. I just finished it. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what PlayStation Plus is sort of that nudge to be like, play Shovel Knight again. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, yeah, sure. I wouldn't have thought to do that. But now that it's like front and center and I'm kind of paying for it already, you know.
Also, the feeling of getting something free is awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, technically free. Yeah. Sort of free.
Well, to that point, though, right? It makes you feel better about having spent the $50 or whatever
the
year.
It's $4 a month. Like,
that's
insane. It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Okay, a couple more quickie newses.
Quickie newsies.
Just a GTA 5 update because it's staggering. 54 million copies.
That's insane.
Keep in mind that's sold in, which means to retailers as opposed to sold through, which is to customers. But still, I mean, I'm sure it's like 45, 50 is a safe estimate. That is a lot. That is more than, I mean, when you think about Call of Duty sales or whatever, which are in 20s and 30s, which are really high. Like GTA... somehow, I mean, like, it just stays on top always. And I think it's, like, why you can wait, you know, 5 years between GTA titles and have
that's exactly it. Yeah, they Rockstar is very smart at eventizing these things and not really playing by the rules of the rest of the industry of being like, hey, here's two Assassin's Creed games a year, or hey, the Call of Duty machine is starting up again, you know? Like, and they can sort of say every 5 or 6 years be like, here's this new thing.
And that's what's crazy is sales are starting to taper off, which sounds insane. But yeah, it's only 2 million extra from this quarter. It was 52 last quarter.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing is, like, there's no DLC yet. So it's like as soon as they announce a big expansion or DLC, like, you're theoretically going to see sales.
Well, there's no DLC on the main game, but they've kept GTA Online.
Online, for sure. Yeah.
They still don't have updated Hawaiian shirts.
Really?
I just stopped myself from swearing. They still have Hawaiian shirts in Online.
Rockstar, get your shit together.
It's also insane, just super crude math of, so say there's 50 million copies and they were $50 a piece. It's $2.5 billion.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like do we have a breakdown on what on consoles? I guess we don't, right?
What? Which sold on which?
Are you right?
Also, like, keep in mind that
it's like a copy for your homework.
whenever a PS4 price drop rolls around, you know, I guarantee you there's going to be a huge spike in GTA 5 sales this fall, you know? Because, people are going to be like, what's that series I like where you can do all those bad things? That's the one.
Well, and Mom. We don't understand the scope of whatever the DLC will be yet, theoretically. Like, if they're going to do, like, a Ballad of Gay Tony-style big thing, like, maybe there will be console bundles, or maybe there will make a deal out of it.
We heard about single-player, story-based stuff happening in that world. Those type of rumors from people who work in voice actors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. When do you think that's going to happen?
I'm surprised. It
I'm
hasn't,
amazed it hasn't had. Yeah,
yeah, because what? It's been almost 2 years since the last gen version.
That was, maybe that's something we'll hear about.
Paris Games Week or
PSX.
VGAs or whatever. Yeah, that feels like
a random Tuesday because Rockstar
does whatever they want. Yeah, that's
doesn't have to care
that's
about
actually
any of these things.
Probably the best point is that one day they'll say, "Hey, we have a big announcement tomorrow," and then it'll come. Yeah. Yeah, they're kind of like Valve or Blizzard in that way. They can do whatever they want.
Well, they also do the thing where they'll put out one screenshot of it, and it'll be like the back of a car,
and it'll be the highest traffic story in IGN for the year.
Be a porch.
Porch.
One real quick one. Final Fantasy VII Remake will not use the Luminous Engine, which is...
This is Brian's favorite topic. We had two Final Fantasy segments last episode.
Oh, good.
Brian took a real hearty nap.
Well, what I did was I let my left eye fall asleep first, and then my right eye fell asleep next. I actually took two half naps.
I'll keep it short, I promise. They released a thing called Agni's Philosophy. It was a demo for their very pretty engine at the PS4 announcement. It was like a very big deal. Mm-hmm. They were talking about Luminous and what a crazy engine was. They had all these cool tech demos. And then Kingdom Hearts switched to Unreal, and Final Fantasy 15 is not using Luminous, I believe. Mm-hmm. And now Final Fantasy VII isn't. So, like, what was the point of the money and the time they put into that and announcing it? And I don't know. It's really interesting because it is kind of a very Western influence thing to be using Unreal and to I don't know. It kind of suggests like a big step in Square Enix that like maybe they won't use proprietary tech.
Again. I mean, that's smart. Yeah. Honestly, like proprietary tech gets you into such a corner, whereas paying the licensing fee.
Did anything ship using Luminous, or was this one of those tech demo things?
Yes, to my knowledge,
a tech demo that was not interactive.
And it was for 15, theoretically. Like, that was what everyone assumed they were using it for.
Yeah, I bet you it comes down to portability and just the fact that you can't look over somebody else's shoulder and see what they're doing with it.
That's exactly right. And also, they announced this weekend that at Gamescom that they're looking into collaborating with Avalanche, who makes Just Cause, on using some of their tech for airships and for verticality. But just really interesting how willing they are to partner with Western developers rather than using...
God, that is such a nice thing to hear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
seriously. FF7 with, like...
Yeah.
I realize really that's not why people played FF7, but...
Sure.
If you could just tear apart in Midgar.
Yeah.
Tear every piece off.
Well, that was for 15, but theoretically it would be for... I mean, I would assume they have a shared code base.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's also... Maybe part of it is maybe Luminous just wasn't playing well with PS4 and or Xbox One.
Yeah, it could be hardware compatibility stuff. That's a really good point, too.
Yeah. Also, there's always... Can it work on mobile, you know?
Sure.
Unreal, honestly, you can scale it down. It'll work on mobile just fine. Yep. What else we got to talk about?
That's it for quickies.
Everyone's gone to the Rapture.
Yeah.
Marty, what's up going on with this?
It's a video game that's out now. It's developed by the Chinese Room, who did Dear Esther and Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs. It is a first-person walkabout game, which is a genre I like a lot. Andrew doesn't like it because he just went on his phone.
How much is it?
$20.
Okay. How long does it take to play through it?
So that's an interesting thing. So I reviewed it. I gave it an eight. I liked it very much. It took me about 5 or 6 hours, but my main complaint was that your character moves extremely slowly, and this is a very big world, and the world is amazing to go through the first time.
And there's backtracking,
too. But if you want to backtrack, you don't have to backtrack, but I wanted to because I realized I missed stuff.
Yeah.
And it took legitimately like 15 minutes of just walking past things I had already seen to get back to where I was. And there's no run button. There's no prompt for a run button. There's nothing in the options menu.
But...
So the developer released a blog today sort of apologizing for the fact that there is a secret way to walk faster in the game, and it requires holding R2 for 7 seconds. And so they sort of said that, like, hey, this was a thing we had to ship the game, and we had to cut a corner, and so they took took auto run out of the options menu, and there was no prompt in the game of like at the beginning of the game. There's nothing that appears in the corner that says, "Hey, hold R2 for
7 seconds."
So like we timed it. You legitimately have to hold it for 7 seconds, and then your character starts
moving really weird.
Bit faster.
Like what? Did they explain their thinking behind 7 seconds?
I mean,
like I can understand like maybe a slight lag, but that's one of those things. Like 7 seconds is exactly long enough to stop trying to hold a button to see if it does anything.
Exactly.
Yes. So total anecdotal side note. Jose and I have been doing this video series at IGN where we make each other Mario Maker levels, and then we have each other play them. And it was my first time designing a level before, and I got about 90% done with my level before Jose started banging on the door, being like, "We have to shoot this. You're behind schedule.
Yeah.
We gotta make this video and get this out." And my level is nearly impossible to finish because of that. And I walked out of there going,
Oh, now I understand game design. All
so right. That's what every video game has a Jose banging on the door.
Yeah, there are artists and the talented people, and there are people being like, get it done! And you're like, okay!
But all that aside, the game's incredible.
Yeah.
It's published by Sony. It's, you know, for the time being, it's a Sony. It's a PS4 exclusive. It's absolutely gorgeous. Has some of the most incredible music I've ever heard in a video game. It's this really heart-wrenching story about where the hell did all these people go, and you're sort of piecing it together.
It's almost like The Leftovers.
It is. It's sort of like The Leftovers. And it has this really great mystery that I, throughout the whole thing, I was like, is this a religious thing? Is this an alien thing? Is this a science thing? With an incredible payoff. And it has one of... without spoiling it, about two-thirds of the game, it has this five-minute segment that is like one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in a video game.
All right. That sounds like
really
a
good.
Pretty good...
Everyone should go to the Rapture and play this game.
If you had known about the run thing, would you have changed your...
I did change the score.
Oh.
Yeah. So, once we found that out this morning, I had a long sit-down with Dan Stapleton, a reviews editor, and was like, hey, so my major complaint with this game is not really a complaint now if... because this thing is in the game. It's just really poorly implemented, but you can run. And I imagine they're going to patch this game within a week and have at least a prompt or an auto run. I updated the text and I raised the score to 8.5.
Does that mean it is in – now it's a three-hour game?
So that's what Dan made that joke, and then I laughed, and then I was like, oh, is it? I mean, I don't know. I swear I cussed.
But conversely, does the ability to run, is that worth half a point on a 10-point scale?
Write that down.
You start saying "f you," "f you."
No, but seriously though, like, does that?
We have to edit these.
Hey, you have to edit these. I don't have to do anything. I just have to write this down
yourself.
Are we cursing now?
Sorry,
Brian's like taking his
because I got
off.
A few.
No, Brian, no.
Two people have to edit these stupid things.
Sorry, Alexa.
Does that change the experience dramatically though? If it's 2 hours less, I mean, does it matter? Because I know Gone Home was two hours long, and it was a $20 game. And
yeah,
I was,
but you could run around and jump all over stuff. And,
yeah.
Could you jump in that game? I still
can't
remember.
Jump.
No, you
could
okay. You could
jump. Jump all over
that's
stuff.
That's the thing I...
Yep. You could fill a hole.
I threw a condom in the toilet in that game.
10 out of 10. Is that what you told Steve Gaynor when he came in?
I did.
Yeah.
I said, Steve, I love your game, but your game is the first game I've ever been able to throw a condom
in a toilet.
I think
that's the equivalent of if you met somebody who wrote a really good book and you were like, yo, I hit my sister with that book. They're like... thanks, I guess. It was pretty funny, but my mom got mad.
Uh-huh.
And Steve Gaynor got a nice haircut. Shout out to him for that.
Shout out to Steve Gaynor. Follow him on Twitter, at Fulbright. He's got a real nice haircut.
Yeah, tell everybody Steve Gaynor you really like his haircut.
Damn it.
I got to see a bunch of Metal Gear Solid stuff. I think pretty much everybody got to see a bunch of Metal Gear Solid stuff because they released like a half-hour gameplay demo that was all the stuff that you would want in that game. They showed off a ton of like kind of late game high tech crap you get
in Mother Base.
The wormhole thing sold me. Like I was already super sold this game, but like that wormhole thing instead of the balloons was like.
So explain the wormhole.
The most brilliant thing
basically
ever.
You've got your Fulton retrieval system thing, and if you put it on anything, it'll go up into the sky and then miraculously goes home. You get an upgraded version of that where it opens up a vortex and people just teleport through that.
Yep.
And the explanation there is that, I mean, the reason you have this, aside from the fact that it's awesome, is that people can't shoot down a vortex.
That's true.
Can't the balloons fall down in bad weather or something?
Yeah,
too?
They can fall down bad weather.
You always have that percentage of how likely it is going to succeed.
Really,
but basically, Konami was, or, you know, Kojima, the people I was talking to about Metal Gear, I think it was, I was talking to a couple... Koji Productions guys, but you know, Konami PR, and you know, things have been really weird over there, and they were very like it was kind of walking on eggshells type stuff. They were very like clear that they wanted to really control the message, and they had, and I'm not sure if this was because they were afraid of any kind of just questions out of left field or stuff they didn't want to, if they didn't want to go in the deep water or anything, or if they just wanted to really show off specific parts of the demo. So I couldn't ask like too many hard-hitting questions. Not that I usually do that anyway.
I mean, it is a weird thing. Like our last episode, I think I called it the Great Konami Grease Fire because we were just talking about like what a mess those inside reports were of what it was like working at Konami.
Yeah, seriously.
That being said, like I was talking to Sean Istone, who's the guy who does the VO for all the demos they've done so far, and he's just got this very soothing voice, and he's like, and here I'm killing a man violently. He's going to tell me where there are more ways to kill people
this
hidden
is,
in a box
this
somewhere.
Is a goat that I'm going to take home as my pet.
So, like, everything we've seen so far has been very, like, kind of very candid, very manicured, and, like, but seeing it actually, seeing that game running live properly, he was doing that thing where you're doing, like, the stealth thing where you hang off the side of the horse. And a goat just ran on screen, and the horse ran over the goat, and it was like, bah! I was just like, that's what I want. That's my game right there. I want that one.
Yep.
And they also showed off some of the really – in addition to the wormhole vortex thing, you also get this thing that's called the Hand of – damn it, I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, Jehudi, right?
Jehudi, yeah. From, the Hand of Jehudi, I think.
Zone of the Enders.
Or Fist of Jehudi or something like that. But basically it's – a teleportation version of Scorpion's harpoon.
Yeah.
So you shoot it at somebody and they teleport to directly in front of you so you can punch them in the face.
Yep.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, that's really cool.
So good. It looks like basically like these little I never played Zone of the Enders, so I don't remember if that's an actual thing in that game or what.
Wait, did you buy it for the demo?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. You snapped that disc right in half.
Yeah.
I don't even know, weird robots.
But basically like this game looks like there's so much question I did ask was like, can you Fulton a bear, and if you do that, will it be at your base? And he said yes.
Yeah.
So
you can Fulton anything, right?
Yeah.
That's
and then, of course, there's the FOB stuff really where cool. Basically it's – you're building your base the whole time. You're building Mother Base, and it's – you know, you did that in Peace Walker, but it was kind of just through spreadsheets basically. In this case, you're building a physical space that you get to explore, and I think it's – I don't think it's so much like you're playing The Sims or Animal Crossing. You know, I think it's more like, oh, we're putting in this type of wing, and it's sort of laid out a certain way. But you can you can change the color, which I'm excited about, because I want to have a fabulous pink base. And then other people can come into your base.
Yeah, that's
and
really
good. Yeah, that's the stuff we watched in the live
show.
Yeah,
what you have in there is going to defend it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I really want to find out
if your bear can defend
if
your
my
base.
Bears will attack people in your base.
And like people could just steal your things. Like if they enter your base and it's not defended well, people could just start Fultoning your
so
things.
Like,
back to
could you have just like a bear wing? Like a whole
I think you, I think you just
long,
I don't know if the bears will
bears
just wander around in the loose. Like
a long hall of bears?
I would really love to have an entire just nothing but bears. Like I really just want
I love the idea that you randomly pop into someone's mother base and you don't know whose it is. You're like, oh damn it, there's just bears everywhere.
Well, I love the idea like of somebody coming in, they're like, oh, this base is pink. This is gonna be just a cake. And then they walk in there and they're like, oh, bears. Bears and fire everywhere.
The bears are coming out of the vortex.
Are there bees in this game? I feel like there might be bees.
It's probably bees.
Probably bees.
My big kind of just takeaway on this is that it is like it is such a massive literal sandbox. Like you get weather control equipment later on, so you can call in a sandstorm.
God,
code name Darude.
Yeah. and you also you steal cassettes from people, and that's the music you could be playing throughout your base.
I keep forgetting parts of this game and then remembering more parts of it, and I'm just like, we're gonna have so many weird fun things.
Dude,
this.
So that's my whole thing about all this Konami thing, like this Konami drama. I sort of want to just hit pause on it for like a month and a half. It's just so Metal Gear can come out and we can all be like, oh my god, this is incredible.
Yep.
And then after that, all right, we can talk about how this,
analyze.
This,
yeah,
this
yeah,
company's
yeah.
such a mess. Like, I'm just hoping that – I think that's sort of what you were getting at with the – when you were talking to people at Konami. Like, they're just so exhausted right now and be like, hey, we've been working on this game for 5 years.
I feel so bad for them.
And we just
like,
want it to speak for itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's like there's a couple about to break up, but they're crazy and fun and you want to invite them over to your house to make a mess one last time. All right, now you guys can divorce, you rat crazy scraps.
It's got to be so exhausting, especially for like – I mean I imagine it's not fun for you know for Kojima, but like all of the people who work on that game who are not named Kojima, you know, like they are
– All right, we can keep going. We have audio on the –
Why did the computer get unplugged?
That's fine. We can grab audio from the – we grabbed audio from this. That's
anyway, for all the people who are working on this game and aren't household names in – weird nerdy households, it's got to be kind of a bummer to have most of the noise surrounding your game be like bad hype, you know?
Yeah.
So the game, which is the reason that we play these games, not industry politics, is really awesome. So I'm
and
I could not be more excited about this
game.
And
you have to assume that when this game is on the store shelf, the average person who's buying it, the millions of people who will buy this game, have no idea. Like, they're not going to notice Kojima's name isn't there. Like.
So that was the same earlier this week when Josh Trank tweeted out that quick tweet where he pretty much like threw Fantastic Four into the bus. Josh Trank was the guy who directed Fantastic Four and had a lot of drama surrounding it.
A lot of dogs.
Yeah, he put a lot of dogs in a house and destroyed that house.
Yep.
He fought a lot of dogs back to that Louisiana manor. but people were – so he threw out a tweet that threw the movie under the bus and he deleted it right away. And people were like projecting like the movie lost $10 million because of that tweet.
No, it didn't.
Yeah. It lost $10 million because it was hot trash.
The bigger thing is more that like – well, anyway, I was going to talk about Josh Trank. No one cares. We can move on. Yeah.
What else we got to talk about? We've got some.
We got Brappies.
Yeah. Let's talk about some. We've got some rapid fire cues.
That's right. Let's do some quick questions.
Rapid fire.
I went into the Beyond Facebook group and I asked questions. I got 270 of them at the time of this writing or the time of a half an hour ago. that's a lot. I only picked five. I would love to do a whole episode of these one day, but when if there's ever literally no news and we're just bored, let's do a whole bunch.
That's something.
But, you can do that too. Just join the group, and every Monday or Tuesday, I'll pop in there. We're a day late this week, so sorry about that. We were 4 days late last week, so we're getting better technically.
that was my fault.
Lucas Trzinska or Trzinka says best console launch out of all the PlayStation consoles.
PS4.
You think so?
PS4 easy.
Like in terms of experience,
what, Killzone,
games.
Wait, are we talking about games or just the consoles themselves? Because I'm talking about the consoles.
Oh,
this was the first time when nobody went. Oh, I have to get a second job. Or, like, I mean, the PS1 launched when nobody knew what the hell it was. The PS2 launched. It was still pretty expensive at the time. It was, I think, word supply is pretty limited. Not a great launch lineup in that case either because, you know, what were people expecting? People didn't know what a DVD was yet.
Yeah, I'm actually really inclined to agree with you, Max. If you sort of take the launch game lineups out of it, which is kind of hit or miss here and there, I think the way I got my PS4 was they announced it. They announced it was available for pre-order during E3. I went on my phone on Amazon and I pre-ordered it, and it arrived here the day it came out.
Yep.
For what was it? $250, $299, or whatever. I forget the launch price.
$399.
Was it $399?
Yeah. Wait, for what? PS4?
$400.
$400. Yeah. $400.
Was it $400?
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, I'm way off. And it just showed up. And even the coolest thing about it had a little handle on the box.
That's right.
And I walked out the door. And I got on the train and I went home.
I'm a real grown-up businessman. I got
a real
briefcase.
Adult with my video game briefcase toys.
We took we took the Huel Breaking Bad photo on the boxes because we got so many PS4s coming.
We actually unboxed. I think we unboxed 22 of them.
Oh, I forgot about that. That was really fun.
We did the world's biggest PS4 unboxing here at IGN.
And then
the Xbox One came out. We didn't have as many here.
Yeah. This was a really interesting way to interpret that question. I assume he meant game lineups, but I like your answer a lot better.
Okay. Nice. Andy Markinson says Rockstar or Naughty Dog?
Naughty Dog.
Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
Naughty Dog.
To me, Rockstar is obviously incredible, but for me, Naughty Dog has that much wider range of everything. I mean, like going back to making incredible platformers to making Uncharted, obviously what it is, and then having an emotional game like The Last of Us, like they're a more exciting dev to me. Whereas Rockstar, like, does a bunch of incredible stuff, but like, I don't know, me personally, like, I don't need another GTA. I don't need another even Red Dead. Like,
I want another Chinatown Wars.
Sure.
I want another Drug Wars for my calculator.
I'm going to say Rockstar.
You would love Chinatown Wars.
Yeah.
I like Rockstar. I love the way they operate.
Yeah.
Like, they are... you know, they go into this mysterious room and they hide there, you know, and it's like it's awesome. Like Naughty Dog makes incredible stuff too. It's really kind of apples and oranges here. But I kind of respect that Rockstar is so completely tight-lipped about what they do.
Yep.
Like I think it was Dan Houser gave one interview and it was just a Playboy, which is kind of like just a – it's such a rock – like literal rock star move.
Yeah.
If Naughty Dog behaved more like a literal Naughty Dog – they just,
who's a bad dog?
They just
you are.
To celebrate the launch of Last of Us, we have ruined the couch. We've just ruined it.
Yeah, I mean,
get off all the cushions.
I appreciate the scope of Rockstar Games, but I do also respect how, and I know this goes against what I was saying before, but I respect how prolific Naughty Dog is.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the amount of time that we got one GTA, we got what, like
the Uncharted trilogy plus
the Uncharted
Last of
trilogy
Us.
Yeah. Plus the Last of Us. Like that's kind of if I can take four games versus one, then I'll probably go with that. Yeah, they're kind of split from me. I'm just really glad they both exist.
Yeah.
Willamus Bartimus asks, how good are ranch and bacon sodas?
Horrible. Not good.
Awful.
Yeah.
So
not
bad.
Good at all.
Awful.
Really
have you guys
had them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. I've tried a sip of
Yeah, Max and I drank them on the comedy button
they
once.
They suck.
Don't do that.
I tried a sip of bacon cola. It was disgusting.
It's not a good cola, and it doesn't taste like bacon.
It's a crappy cola with an awful bacon aftertaste.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a nightmare.
They taste like soap and a different kind of soap that had bad things happen in it.
Speaking of bad things, Michael DeVrugd says, what is your worst childhood gaming-related memory?
I think I've talked about it here before. I split my head open playing Bubsy.
Please tell that story.
That explains so much.
Really?
Didn't we go over this?
I don't remember this.
I've told the story on some show. The short version is I was playing Bubsy, getting real frustrated. That game's not great. And we had this like...
Super Nintendo?
Yeah. Okay. I used to play video games in... We had like this upstairs room that had like a bunch of crap in it. It was like our storage room basically. And there was this like old rocking chair that was like my dad's grandfather's rocking chair. It was in our house for some reason. And I got frustrated and I was like, oh my God, I hate this game. And I just let go of the control, just rocked it backwards, like fell back and my head slammed into a rocking chair and I had to get a whole bunch of stitches. And my sister
Would
found me like covered in blood.
The blood in your hair busted loose. Oh, God. I like Bubsy because it's sort of like someone went to the store. They're like, do you have anything less edgy than Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yeah, exactly. With awful jokes. And
do you have a tall Garfield? Yep. I was good friends with this kid. I forget his fucking name, Michael or something.
You guys were really good friends.
And he came over and we were playing. This is a long time ago. We were playing Kid Icarus for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Right.
And after he left, the game went missing. And I got really mad, and I blamed him for stealing it. My mom was like, you can't hang out with that kid anymore. He came over and stole your birthday present. You know, we have to get you a new one, blah, blah, blah. So I stopped hanging out with him. Then he moved to another town. We never spoke again. And like 10 years later, my parents were moving the TV in our living room, and Kid Icarus fell out of the back of it. And I couldn't call the kid because he was dead.
What?
Yeah.
Get out!
Wow. Yeah.
Get the... What?
And then they made a sequel to Kid Icarus for Nintendo 3DS. Available.
Mike Drucker wrote.
Now. Yeah, Mike Drucker wrote on. Yeah,
lots of jokes. About
Wait,
your
was
friend.
Mike was Mike his name? Was it the same Mike?
No, because
is this a butterfly effect?
No. The Drucker is not dead.
The ghost of this kid that got kicked out of my house didn't go on to become the writer of Kid. Just forget it.
I don't get what. Wait, what was the point of the story? I'm unclear.
Oh, we were talking about bad things
Mike
that happened
Drucker
to us
as a child.
Yeah, we're talking about bad gaming-related
Did
memory.
Mike Drucker put the game inside your TV?
Get past it.
Dan Palomares
asked. Wait, we didn't go next to Palomares.
Okay, what are your stories?
I don't want to follow up the dead kid, who may or may not be Mike. I forget.
Yeah, a guy named Mike stole a really bad Game Boy game about casinos from me.
That's crazy. It's almost like Mike is a common name.
Yeah, but then he didn't die. He just went and did a bunch of drugs.
He's dead inside.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Marty?
I mean, none of mine are that, like, horrifying. I had a really
Dagnabbit.
Those are two curses, by the way.
Oh, this is awful. It's so hot in this room.
It's really hot.
It's a real hot box. No, when I got my PS1, my parents got me... this memory card that was like a third party thing. It was like, it's as big as 100 memory cards. And my parents thought that it was like an awesome idea, but it just deleted my saves all the time. Yep. So like trying to beat Final Fantasy VII or Resident Evil 1 or Symphony of the Night was this like Sisyphean task to where like, I love those games in Metal Gear so much because I've played the first half of them 1,000 times. It was like.
Yeah. Those PS1 era peripherals, like I had memory cards die, and then controllers would die at like pivotal moments. Mm-hmm. Like my crappy like Mad Catz controller would just drop dead in the middle of the most important part.
I want to write a horror movie called The Island of Haunted Third Party Memory Saves, and it's just all the lost saves through all the years. They died on Mad Catz cards that are just.
Hey, wait! Can there be some kind of partnership between Mad Catz and Naughty Dog?
It's
just an official Last of Us controller that's made out of like a bunch of shivs and a broken bottle.
On House Pets.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just a mushroom and you press a button and spores shoot
out. That's why I only buy controllers from Crazy Rats. America's favorite mid-90s controller company. All right. That was rapid fire. Those are five questions.
There's
Thank you so much
no,
for those.
Questions.
Actually, no, there's a fifth one. It's very good. Very easy. Dan Palomares says, Palomares says... How you doing?
Listen to the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
How you guys doing? Listen to the start of the program. We started with that story.
I feel like I'm day drunk. I'm not. Yeah. I'm on some Metacash.
I feel like I felt like there's a thunderstorm outside all day.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I'm just real tired.
I'm very tired.
You're always tired.
Emotionally exhausted. Yeah. I'm physically exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been,
Oh, we were going to tell the story last week. Well, we said we were going to save it this week.
Okay.
The revelation we had at a bar about me.
Oh. Oh, my God. This is my favorite story.
Oh, yeah. This is great.
I guess I'll tell from my perspective then.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm out with Marty at a bar, which is every night of every week. And we go into this new place, and we're with Marty's friend Sean. And we walk in, and Sean presents his ID and walks in, and Marty presents his ID. I guess doesn't get it back or whatever. Is that what happened? And then
no,
I got
none
it.
Of us, no, none of us had an ID. We just, I was talking about someone and I said she's 27. Or you said she's 27 like you are, Marty. And then Sean.
Oh, and then Sean, that's what it was. Yeah. And then Sean points out like, no, Marty's not 27. I guess Sean knew this, which blows my mind more. But yeah, so eventually Marty has to pull out his ID to show what his age is. And he is 2 years older than he has always thought he is. Marty is my age. He was born in 1986. He is 29 years old and did not know it. He thought he was 27 for the last several years.
Wait, when's your birthday, Marty?
It is June 3rd.
So you're... Yeah.
So I went from being younger than Max to older than Max.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really weird feeling.
You lost 2 years of your life.
Yeah.
That night.
No, no, but I kind of get where you're coming from because between 25 and 30, there's
don't excuse
no, this. No, it's not okay.
No. Between 25 and 30, there's not really a whole lot to keep track
there's
of.
There's no milestones. Like, yeah. I can rent my car.
You can rent a car and your insurance rates go down. And
you can burn a lottery ticket.
Yeah. When you're like when you're 27,
you
you're like,
draft.
Oh,
you
kiss a cop. I'm not going to join that 27 club with Marilyn Monroe and James Dean or whatever. You know,
yeah,
like
the whole thing, my big question was like, where did you, what are the years that you missed?
I don't
missed?
Know.
Like, what are the birthdays you didn't celebrate?
I don't think I ever had a 28th birthday. I don't remember ever telling anyone.
Well, you did. You just didn't know.
Well, yeah.
And I just want to say, if we sound a little reserved right now, it's because we've heard the story a few times. But the first time we heard it, we were floored.
Yeah.
I was screaming
you
and yelling about this.
You mass text at 3 o'clock.
3 in the morning. Yeah, I texted all of you at once.
It was the first thing I read when I woke up that day. It was great.
Yep. Yeah,
so, Marty, how old are you now? You're 29?
I'm 29.
He's 3 months younger than me.
Years old.
Or 2 months.
So I came into work the next day, and I walked up to Marty, and I said, happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Right? We're covered.
I've known Marty for 4.5 years, and I always thought he was 2 years younger than me. So at least in that time, you have thought – so it happened before you were 25 then.
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
This is really tragic.
This is a bizarre thing.
Yeah, this is bad. This is a real bad thing.
It's not great.
No, it's not great.
I got to get some stuff in order. I wrote down all the cusses.
That's good.
I reviewed everybody's gone to the rafters.
You should just write down every birthday, though.
Yeah.
Just write down every birthday.
You need to disable your auto run, I think. You need maybe take those 7 seconds.
Maybe I need to hold the R2 for a couple extra seconds to get my life in order.
You sure it was 7 seconds?
Oh, it was actually 9 seconds.
I feel I'm okay with this because I was sort of legitimately weirded out when I found out you were younger than me, and I'm like, well, Marty, you're so good at the stuff you do. And I'm
and
like,
we were talking about how you and Zach have all these like childhood memories that line up really well, and he was like, man, that's so weird because you're so much younger than me, but like now it actually makes sense.
And Jose is like, oh man, it's not like you've been 27 the entire time I've known you. And I'm like, yeah, I've known you 4.5 years. You should have warned me about this. Yeah, so it's Jose's fault, just like you're the Mario level.
Yep. Jose also, he's the reason that everybody's gone to the rapture, doesn't have a sprint button.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really rough.
It's really messing things up.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. So Jose made Peter Dinklage get replaced by...
That's Nolan. Right.
Okay. Yeah,
that's
Jose.
A weird name for an actual dwarf, by the way.
Peter Dinklage?
Yeah, it sounds like a fake name for a real... I'm going to stop.
All right. So on that note, if you want to email us, it's just beyond@IGN.com.
That's right.
You can find us all on Twitter. I'm Max Scoville. Marty is McBiggity with 2 G's and 2 T's.
Yep.
Brian is Agent Bizzle, and Goldfarb is Garfep.
You guys have a cool announcement coming up on Friday.
What are we doing on Friday, Max?
Oh, yeah, we're launching Up at Noon.
That's right.
Yeah. We're bringing Up at Noon back, and this time it's live. So 12 o'clock noon Pacific time.
Yeah. I think this audience, if you stuck with us all year, first of all, thank you. But if you listen to the episode we did of this show right before E3, the live one, where we were taking questions and we were reading through stories and doing predictions, it was a lot crazier and more energetic. It's going to be a lot like that. But you can watch it. You can ask us questions.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do funny comedy stuff. We're going to be real laid-back, goofy boys.
And like taking over this show, we're not trying to totally recreate the thing that came before it. So, you know.
Yeah.
Have a heart.
That's right.
You monsters.
Yeah, I worked on the old thing for 3 years, and I want to do something new. And Max is here, and he's him and I work very well together.
You know who else worked on that show? That Mike Trucker boy who passed away.
The creator of Kid Icarus, who died
ghost.
Horribly in 1987.
The ghost behind my television.
A man died, Marty.
All right. Thank you guys for listening, and beyond.
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 Stop doing that.
Beyond.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics, and sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.